Praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Why is everybody sitting in the back? You know, you're too far back there. There's lots of empty. Why don't we just move up a little bit? Praise God. If you want to sit in the back, that's fine. But praise God. When I was a young man, and I began to come into this word, the back was always too far away. Because I believed that the fire was up there on the front row. Praise the Lord. So I needed to be up on the front row. Hallelujah. But if you want to sit in the back, that's all right, because I'm a walker. That means I usually walk to the back. So I just want to make sure that you hear me, and that you are not sleeping, and that you are paying attention. Praise God. Hallelujah. Very, very happy to be with you tonight. Very happy to be in your presence, to feel the presence of God. Praise God. When I came in tonight, there was a scripture that you were talking about. I suppose it was up there. Hallelujah. Could we get that scripture back up there? I don't know where it was, but just bring it back up if you can. Hallelujah. You know, I never come... let me put it. I always come with some fear and trepidation. To any meeting that I come to, and to whatever it is that I have this opportunity to share, because quite frankly, I don't know what I'm going to say. And sometimes I say a lot of things that make people angry at me. I don't know why, but they kind of get angry with me. And I don't know, I didn't have it preconceived. I didn't sit down in my bedroom and study it. I just asked God, and you know, it's really sometimes kind of frustrating to think that you don't know. Hi, I just now saw you. Praise the Lord. So good to see you. Praise the Lord. God is working in your life, I see. Huh? He's touching you, isn't he? Yes. Hallelujah. Hold on to it, because it's going to be total. It's going to be absolute. Hallelujah. Spiritually as well as physically. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's not so much the physical thing. It's the spiritual thing. Hallelujah. There's a spiritual fight that you need to ask for. A spiritual discernment, a spiritual having a spiritual inquisitiveness concerning the operation of God. There was a blind man that came to Jesus. Hallelujah. And he was blind, and Jesus touched him. But Jesus touched him too good. Did you hear me? Jesus touched him too good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when Jesus touched him, when Jesus touched him, he saw men as trees walking. Did you hear me? He was not seeing an illusion. He was seeing in the Spirit. Because it says we are as trees of righteousness. Hallelujah. So you don't want the natural healing. What you need is the spiritual healing. Hallelujah. So Jesus had to pray for him again and bring him down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had to bring him down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is going to touch your spiritual sight, my dear. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise God. Now, some of you have come to examine me. Oh, yes. Some of you have come to examine me. Like under a microscope. Huh? And when I get done, you're going to dissect me. Did you hear me? I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God telling me and what I am knowing in the Spirit. Some of you have not come to hear the Word of God. You've come to examine me. Praise God. All I can say is, look very well.
Hallelujah.
Look very well. Because you're going to be held accountable for how you respond and how you react. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There is something the Lord spoke to me when I came in tonight. I want to get down to the place where it says something about they did not do the carrying of the ark correctly. Huh? I want to go to that place. Don't get ahead of me, Brother Joe, please. Hallelujah. And go on down. They carried the ark. Go on down. Okay, it says there, verse 11, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzza, whereas that place is called Hirzuzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Huh? Yeah, I'm going to get down there. Hallelujah. One of the things that the church needs in this hour is a fear of God. And it is only God that can bring you that fear. Hallelujah. Okay, where are you? I don't like reading that up like that, but 1 Chronicles 15. Hallelujah. One of the things that the church needs in this hour is the fear of God. And the fear, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that God will. There's a lot of things that God will tolerate. There's a lot of things that God will allow us to do until we come to a certain point and we begin to move with things that pertain to the ark. It was the moving of the ark from one place to another place. Hallelujah. And the temple had not yet been built. And what had been established for the temple was the thing that was called the Tabernacle of David. Hello, are you there? Huh? Hallelujah. And the Tabernacle of David was a prelude. The Tabernacle of David was a prelude of what it would be in the end of the day. Did you hear me? Because David had a unique relationship with God. He was not a Levite. He was not of the priesthood. Hallelujah. He was not ordained in the things that pertain to the ark and all of its mechanics. But yet there was an establishment of that ark, so to speak, in David's house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there it was a prelude. It was an example. And because of that, the restringency that was on David concerning the proper way in which it was to be handled and how it was to be carried was something that was critical as far as God was concerned. Now, do you hear me? It was not, David presumed that he could do what he was doing even as it had been done. Now, God did not do anything about the Philistines and the way that they handled it. Hello?
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. And although David may have been ignorant, David should not have been ignorant. Hallelujah. And it was only with the happening of the situation with Uzzah, hallelujah, and God doing what he did, that caused David to stop. Hallelujah. And to begin to consider and to examine. Hallelujah. And I can guarantee you, David had all of those scholars digging into the Word of God to try to find out where it was that he went wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The cart was not supposed to be borne on the ark was not supposed to be borne on a cart pulled with oxen. Hallelujah. And you know, God in this hour is not going to honor the moving of the ark. Hallelujah. If we move it in the like manner of church with a pastoral oversight. Hallelujah. You know, oxens are indicative of ministry. Hello?
Yes.
Why anybody wants to be an ox, I will never know. They are slow. They are stubborn. They are hard to manage. Then they take a lot of beating. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God likens the ministry to oxen. And I'm going to tell you something. Ministry is not going to move this movement of God into the new level of dispensation that we are coming to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ministry will facilitate. Do you hear me? And you know, you can facilitate when no one ever knows that you're facilitating.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are coming into a new dispensation. Hallelujah. We are coming into a new operation of the Spirit of God. It's a place we haven't been before, brother. Some of us have been involved in ministry and church a long time. And we have formed habitual patterns of action. We have performed habitual patterns. Praise God. It's good to see you, brother. Hallelujah. It's been a long time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last time I was here, you hid from me. Hallelujah. I'm glad to see you tonight. Hallelujah. Bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have created habitual patterns of moving, habitual patterns of action, habitual ways of addressing problems, habitual way of organizing things. Hallelujah. You know, the rest of my body never knows what my head is going to tell what one part of the body, what it's going to do at any one time. I don't know how it works, but it works. Hallelujah. When it doesn't work, I trip over myself, I fumble, I drop, I'll do all kinds of things. Hallelujah. We have this thinking, we have this thought that ministry is the predominant factor that is going to bring the move or the ark of God back to a position or a place where God intended it to be from the very beginning.
Amen.
We think that. Hallelujah. And just, you know, and I am as guilty of it as you are. I'm not pointing fingers at you. I'm pointing fingers at me and my experience and what I have witnessed with my 50-some years in the church. Not the church out there. Hallelujah. God took me out of that church a long time ago. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have seen this movement rise and I've seen stars from heaven falling. And I am seeing stars from heaven falling. Hello? Hallelujah. And I have witnessed in the events of time and political arenas, not only in my own zone of experience, but geographically, globally, the changing of economics, the changing of policies, the changing of governments, and the eradication of God. Hallelujah. Erasing God out of the visual context. Hallelujah. And the Antichrist mentality of pornography and sexuality and homosexuality, all of those prominent thoughts of darkness that are now in when you get overwhelmed with what? Huh? Inundated. Thank you. Hallelujah. We are being in. What was it? Here, why don't you come up here and preach? Huh? We're being
inundated.
Hallelujah. Do you hear? We're being inundated with wickedness, with darkness. Hallelujah. And I don't care what culture you come from. You could be Indian, you could be European, you could be U.S., you could be any kind of culture. And the totality of it is horrific. Hallelujah. It's on the radio, it's in the movies, it's on the TV, it's walking down the street, it's on the billboard. Wherever you go, your eyes are always looking, your eyes are always seeing, your ears are always listening, and the devil is always talking. Hallelujah. When I was in Ethiopia, one of the times that I was there, I became, well, it was really in Sierra Leone, hallelujah, when I had an experience. Hallelujah. And the experience was, I got invited to the devil's workshop. Did you hear me? I got invited to the devil's workshop. Hallelujah. I don't know. I had an experience, whether in the body or out of the body, God knoweth. But to me, it was as real as I'm being here with you, talking to you. Hallelujah. And as I walked down the stairs from my room in the home that I was, and I walked into the living room, it turned into be like one of those executive offices where they have a round table meeting. And around the table were men and women and what I call hell angelic angels. Hallelujah. And it was the council of hell. And they were talking about things of the world. It was a global meeting of strategy. Hallelujah. On the table were many files and dossiers. And some of them were of individuals, some of them were of governments, and they were talking about their plan of action and the instrumentation of it and what they would do and who it was. And in these files they had every bit of information that you could possibly imagine. And on the people, hallelujah, it was total from the time they were born. And in fact, the family in which they were born and the problems of the family that had preceded them and all of the things that were written there. Hallelujah. About them. And they were like trigger points. They were like soft places. What they could employ to implement what it was that they were doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, then there was these beings, I don't know, I call them devil messengers. They're like delivery boys. And they came in, and when they had formulated their plan, they had them somehow wrapped up in like a form that looked to me almost like a shell, like a peach. Have you ever seen a peach seed? Big round thing. Hallelujah. And they would fill their bags with this information, and then these spirits would go out into the darkness. And these spirits as they would go through the darkness, they would scatter their seeds. Now, these particular spirits were spirits that were so evil and so wicked, they could not even abide natural sunlight. So they followed the darkness around the world. Hallelujah. And they would sow their seeds as they would go. Some of you might even have a dream. Or some of you might have a visitation. Some of you would, and some of them would be receiving their information as to what it was they were supposed to do in their locality on that day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, going now to Ethiopia, me and another brother were there. He was from Europe and I was from the States. And we were in our room, and of course you have all of the chanting that comes off from the Muslims on one side and the Coptics on the other side. In fact, I think they're almost competing sometimes. Hallelujah. And they just chant and sing their sing-songy songs. And I'm laying there in my bed, and I'm trying not to listen. You try to cut it out. You try to turn it off. Hallelujah. But God did not want me to turn it off. Because as I'm listening to it, I begin to pick up a pattern. And it's like somebody... And it sounds just like Morse code to me. It sounds like Morse code. And I turned to my brother and I said, "Brother, do you hear what I hear?" And he said, "Yes, it sounds like somebody is sending code out." Hallelujah. So they're not just chanting. They're not just worshiping their God. They're sending out, and you know there are spirits. There are spirits in their localities that are listening. Some of the spirits deal with the political realm. Some of the spirits deal with the religious realm. Some of the spirits deal with the entities of personalities and people. Hallelujah. So what was really more interesting to me, the most interesting thing of all, praise God, was over here on the corner of the table was another pile of dossiers. And they weren't quite so big, or quite so many, as the other piles. And I knew, intuitively, this pile pertained to any and everyone who has heard the message pertaining to sonship. Hallelujah. And they were putting everything aside. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? They were putting world politics to the side. They were putting global economy to the side. They were putting everything to the side. And they were bringing this pile up to the forefront and beginning to concentrate on it. Hallelujah. And as I was very much aware, hallelujah, that anything and everything, and I did not see my name on there, and I did not see anybody else's name. So I don't know anything about you. But I knew in that pile I had a file, and that everything about me they knew. Hallelujah. Now, this was maybe 2 years ago. Hallelujah. And just recently, there has been an exposure of names being collected, phone conversations being collected, emails being collected, all the paraphernalia of people being collected. Come on! Hallelujah! And you know, it should come as no surprise to me, but it did. Because God was already showing it to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you don't think it's not happening with you, you are mistaken. Now, it gave one government to rise up against another government, but that's all part of the plan too. Hallelujah. You see, the devil is becoming so bold and so confident that he's not afraid of being exposed. In fact, he's exposing it.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Because he doesn't think that we're smart enough to comprehend it, or that we are serious enough to understand it, or that we are cognizantly aware of what it is and the jeopardy that we are in. You see, there has never been a group of people who have gathered together and have moved in due order of God to bring down the devil's kingdom. Oh, we've had examples. We've had individuals. We had a small collection of people, or possibly, but those people soon forgot. A good example of that is in World War II, up in the Czech Republic, what was then Czechoslovakia, Moravia. There were brethren in Moravia who had gathered together to pray against the Nazi invasion of their country. And do you know that Nazi came in? When they came in, it was like water going around a rock. That God preserved them. Hallelujah. But on the day that they got released, which was not when they were liberated by the Russians, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They didn't get liberated. They went under communism. Hallelujah. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And one day, God broke the chain of that mentality over them. That authority was destroyed. Huh? You know what they did? They denominationalized. Huh? Hello? Are you there? They denominationalized. Huh? Hallelujah. Oh, we're not nominational, we're denominational. That means we're fighting against it and creating the thing that we abhor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a correct order, and God is not going to allow me or anyone else to disturb that order, because God is stepping into his business.
Oh, yes, amen.
You go ahead and organize. You go ahead and do your church thing, if you're doing a church thing. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you that God, at some point, at some time, is going to say enough.
Amen.
The cart was moving from the Philistines,
yeah.
Hallelujah, until it reached a specific point, and it was met by a contingent of brethren who should have known better but did not. Hallelujah. And we are presumptuous to think, because we have the revelation of sonship and we have all of the mechanics of it. Hallelujah. In fact, the mechanics is the thing that sometimes brings the deception, because we know it in the reality of what it is that we are supposed to do, how it is that we are supposed to do it, and when it is that we are supposed to do it, but we do it without the unction and the anointing and the word of God. Hallelujah. We do it without that word of God. And when we move in that way, that's where the trouble will begin. Hallelujah. The two sons of Aaron is a perfect example of it. And you probably heard it 100 times or 1,000 times. And you're going to hear it 1,001 more times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything was fine out there in the outer court. Everything was fine when they came to that brazen laver. Everything was fine and they went into the holy place. Come on, brother. Hallelujah. Oh, we all know that the outer court's going to be given to the Gentile. But did you know that the holy place is going to be destroyed? Huh? Did you know that? Hallelujah. Why else would God tell you to flee?
Mm-hmm.
You flee because you flee for your life.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You flee because you're in danger of something happening with you in that position, that place of experience. God says to flee out of it. Where do you flee? Back into the holy, back into the outer court? It's out there being trampled. No. It would be better for us not to have heard the gospel of sonship or the holy place message and stayed in the outer court. At least we would be guaranteed of an opportunity of salvation. It says of the holy place people, we are not them that turn back to perdition. Hello? Hallelujah. Hello, are you there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We as a holy place people, with a holy place message, are at a critical turning point in the economy of God. And the fact of what it is, we are running out of time. We're running out of time. Hello? Are things getting better? Oh, you may have more gas. You may have maybe a little more electricity. I bet everybody has a cell phone. Huh? Everybody got a cell phone? Huh? Raise your hand if you got a cell phone. I want to see cell. How many of you got a cell phone? Come on. Don't be bashful. Huh? All right. How many of you got your Bibles? Let me see hands. How many of you got the Bibles? Well, it might be 50-50. Everybody has a cell phone, but not everybody has a Bible. That's strange. Christians with no Bibles. Hallelujah. Christians with no Bible. Brethren, this is the only reality that we have. I don't care what kind of books you have. I don't care what kind of money you have in the bank. Your money is going to go down the drain. 2010, God told me, tell the brethren to buy gold. And I said, you mean gold like spiritual gold. And God came back to me again. He said, tell the brethren to buy gold. I said, but brother, but God, brethren don't necessarily have the money to buy gold. He said, tell the brethren to buy gold. I said, God, how do we buy gold when we have no money to buy gold? He said, tell the brethren to buy gold. And I got the revelation. You know, I have a hard head. My mother used to knock on it and says, knock on wood. Hallelujah. I got the revelation. It's not a matter of how much you buy or how much you cannot buy. It's a matter of obedience. How did he feed 5,000? How did he feed 5,000? Huh? Five loaves, five fishes. That's all the little boy had. And there was a commandment that came, sit the people down in groups. Groups of what? 50, huh? Well, it was 50, wasn't it? At least one of the accounts was 50. 50 is the number of Jubilee. And there were 5,000 of them. 5 is the number of ministry. 3 is the number of the fullness of the seed of God. Hello? Hallelujah. So God is saying, he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a word that God is bringing to us in this hour, brethren, and we are running out of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble now. How many of you remember the word on 2008? Huh? You remember it? You remember? Come on, you guys, most of you here have had it, you've discussed it, you chewed on it, and some of you spit it out. Do you know in Ethiopia they are now coming into 2006? Did you know that? Hello? Are you there? You listening? I'm not telling you that the Ethiopian calendar is accurate, but I'm telling you, what I'm telling you is they're now coming into the year of 2006. And you know the funny thing about Ethiopia? It's all based on Jewish overshadowing. They keep the Jewish day. Evening starts at 6 o'clock. Huh? Morning starts at 6 in the evening. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? So when it's 7 o'clock at night, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Hallelujah. And their holidays coincide with the Jewish calendar. In fact, they're coming into 2006 on the Day of Atonement as far as the calendar is concerned, which is in September. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, you just can't take one segment of things that had happened, but if you take this and you take what's happened in the global economy, you take what's happening in the political arena, you take what's happening in the degrading of righteousness and the exaltation of wickedness. Hello? Are you there? Hallelujah. You know, when I first came to Nigeria, all of you that are above the age of 50, you were dirt poor. You were so poor, you were blessed.
Amen.
Your children have never had to experience what you have experienced. They don't know the reality of it. They don't know the consequence of it. And they are taking now for granted what you have given them. You have educated them. You buy them clothes. You buy them cars. You pay their cell phones. You do all of the things that you could not do. Hallelujah. They are not ready for tribulation. They are not ready for trouble. They're not ready for being inconvenienced or compromised. They are not ready. They are not ready. And they're not ready for the trouble and the fire that's going to come to you as a people. Because the great tribulation is something that comes to all commodities of life. Hello, are you there? Hallelujah. And this all pertains to the moving of the ark. This all pertains to the position or the place of where the ark was to wind up. Hallelujah. When it says, when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it ought not to be. Hallelujah. What is the abomination that maketh desolate? Well, it is that you desecrate and defile the hope of for which it was created for. I'm talking about the holy place. Did you hear me? The holy place was created for a particular reason. It was had a particular purpose. Hallelujah. And in the offering of the candles, the lampstand, and the table of showbread was nothing but a prelude and a time of preparation to prepare you and I to come to that golden altar of incense. The golden altar of incense was a corporate altar for a corporate people. It was not something that was created for an individual. The brazen altar was something that was created for an individual. And by virtue of that individual, we inherit eternal life. And you don't even know what it is that you have inside of you. Hallelujah. It's encapsulated in all of the aspects of who you are. as a person, who you are as a people, who you are in relationship to the Word of God that you have. Hello? Hallelujah. But the whole mechanics of the operation of the tabernacle was to change you, to elevate you, to bring you out of where it was you were into a new experience with a new identity, with a new name, with a new culture, with a new realm or kingdom, with a new king. That's what it was designed to do. It wasn't supposed to make you better Nigerian. It wasn't supposed to make you a more prosperous Nigerian. And yet God prospered you. God prospered every one of you. And nobody had a car when we came. Nobody. Nobody had food, much less a car, when we came. And nobody had their own house either when we came. Hallelujah. Nobody. Hallelujah. And God has prospered you. You've grown up and you've grown out. Huh? You've grown up and you've grown out. Hallelujah. 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 But we were given a word, we were given a revelation, we were given an understanding for a particular reason, for a particular time, for a particular place. But we have not been diligent in that operation. We continue to build the mechanism of religion. I was in and amongst a number of universities. I am so blessed with what's going on in Ethiopia right now, because I have come full circle. When I came to Nigeria, we were ministering at the University of Lagos. When we came to Port Harcourt, we were ministering at the University of Port Harcourt. Huh? Hallelujah. You were in your early 20s, late 20s, maybe in your early 30s. I don't know. Some of you were maybe. Not many of you. Hallelujah. 20s mainly. Hallelujah. And you were learning. Hallelujah. And some of you are picking up the burden. Some of you are going, come on, brother, don't misunderstand what I am saying. But what I am saying is that we have not done enough. We have not fulfilled the calling and the election that is upon our life. You were called. Now God is saying, are you chosen? You were called. Are you now chosen? Chosen is a demonstration of the reality of that you have as far as this word is concerned. Hello? Hallelujah. You are supposed to be the walking, talking reality of God.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Did you hear me? You're supposed to be the walking, talking reality of God. It says, and the Word was made flesh. Why do you think it was that God said in the beginning, I want to create this man in my image and in my... Is that when you pass over? Huh? Is that when you suddenly die and you get to cross that river? Huh? Hallelujah. God, help us. It says they without us, without you, brother. Did you hear me? Without you, sister, they cannot be made perfect. Did you hear me? It's you that brings and ministers perfection. It's you, and 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 it's you. Whoops. Hallelujah. You are designated to be the perfection of God. Hello? Are you listening to me? You were at the end of the day. Huh? And the laborers that came in at the end of the day, they got what? The same pay. Do you know that one penny was a day's wages? Huh? One penny was a day's wages? Hallelujah. There's coming a time when your day's wages will not even buy you a loaf of bread. Hello? Remember the scripture that says, and the bread was sold for a penny wage? That's a day's wages. Hallelujah. What are you doing with your substance? Now, some of you are going to think I'm preaching for money. Don't give me your money. I don't want your money. Hallelujah. I don't need your money. And I'm not being arrogant. Hallelujah. And at least you think I got money in the bank, forget it. Hallelujah. But I have a Father in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That when I need bread, He gives me bread. Huh? Have you ever seen? Huh? Well, how's it go? Come on, help me. The sons of God begging bread. Some pitiful preacher gets up and begins to beg for money. He does not know God. Some pitiful servant of God has no reality passing the plate. Robbing God. Stealing not the essence of life and the essence of food out of the mouths of the children, but stealing the spiritual strength and dealing with it in a corrupt manner and using it in a manner and fashion that God is not pleased. Hallelujah. What would you rather have? Money in the bank or the faith to believe God to create the money for you when you need it?
Yes.
Huh? Amen. Hallelujah. What do I need money in the bank when I have a Father? I just say, Father, I need a cow. Sell one of your cows. Huh? Hallelujah. 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 God prospers a man. God prospers a woman, and a big screen TV suddenly appears in their front room. And you know what? God prospers him, and it's not big enough, so he buys a bigger one. And God prospers him, and so he buys himself a 2-year-old vehicle. And he drives that around for a while, but that's not good enough. And God prospers, he buys a bigger vehicle with the right emblem on the hood. Huh? Hallelujah. How presumptuous can I be? How presumptuous do I think that as a son of God and in accordance to the world, a word of God that says, when a man finds a field, that in the field is buried a pearl of great price. Hallelujah. How presumptuous can I be when I want a satin pillow to put my head on? And it can't be one of those artificially manufactured things. It has to be a nice feather pillow. Huh? And my bed isn't big enough, so it has to be bigger. Huh? And I lay down and I cover myself up. Hallelujah. How presumptuous can I be when it says in the scriptures, the Son of Man had no place to lay his head? Do I really want to be like him? Do I really want to follow in his footsteps? Do I really want to be like him? Hallelujah. You know, brethren, believe you me, if God tells you to buy a big screen TV, go buy a big screen TV. But then invite the neighborhood in to come watch a big screen message of God. Start a church in your living room watching them scream at a man bringing the word of God. And you want a big car, buy a big car, but fill it up and bring them to church.
Amen.
Go through the neighborhood, pick up those children out there. Put them in your expensive car, on your nice upholstery seat, in their dirt and their slime and all of the corruption that is upon them. Put them in there. Hello? And bring them to church and teach them the Word of God. Teach them how to stand in the midst of tribulation that is coming.
Amen.
And teach them how to love God. Did you hear me? Not love the world. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday, and I kind of shared it a little bit at the table earlier on. I said, you know, if you're born in a house that has no floor, it has no door, it has no windows, just got holes, has no coverings on it, and you grow up in that environment, you're perfectly content. Until you walk into a house and it's got marble on the floor. Hallelujah. And if you have no bathroom, it's outside somewhere, you're content with it until you walk into a house that has plumbing. And what happens? You want plumbing. You want marble floors. You want electricity coming into the house. Why? I don't know, because it never works anyway. You spend money and you spend time and you spend energy and all of the mechanics that go into it to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be what? Added unto you. If in seeking the kingdom and the kingdom that you are bringing forth needs it. Oh yeah. We think if we seek kingdom of God, He's going to give us what we need. Hallelujah. My mother says, what you need is a good shellacking. Wait till your father comes home. Father is coming home. You were made to be as a tabernacle, a housing of God. Hallelujah. You know, I got into this group of university students up in a place called Gondar. You know, it's really amazing what God is doing in Ethiopia. It's amazing. It blows my mind. We have been knocking on this rock for 7 years. 7 years knocking, pounding on this theological, educational rock for 7 years. Last year, it cracked. Hallelujah! I mean, it not only cracked, it exploded. And we got in with these university students and we began to share them this word, this thing that is called tabernacle. Come on, brethren. I've been in this gospel for over 45 years. Hallelujah! And I probably have heard or taught or prophesied more tabernacle than most of you have. Hallelujah. But every time God brings it, it's refreshing. Every time God brings it, it's reviving. Every time God brings it, hallelujah, it brings a revelation or an understanding that comes into my being that energizes me. And they sit, these are educated people. These are educated young children. I could no more measure up to their educational ability. I am just totally and absolutely dumb compared to what they are. And yet they're sitting there listening to the Word of God. And their mouths are open like little birds. They have never heard. They have had religion. They have had religion. They have never heard this word of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! They sit on the edge of their chair, brethren. One man was sitting there, crouched forward like he was going to jump out and grab me. God's got to take a pry bar to pull some of us out of our chairs. It's like the seat of our pants is glued to the seat of the chair. Our feet are glued to the ground. We have heard it so much that it's become so familiar, so mundane, so absolutely void of its power. It says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. This word was not created for sinner man. Do you hear me? This word was not created for sinner man. This word was created to get you saved to become a son. This word is not given to you to build a church.
Amen.
This word is given to you that you might become a body.
Hallelujah.
Under the headship of God. Lucid. Lucid. And we do not even know the very basics of it. Hallelujah. Oh, we are born again to get into heaven, right? We are born again to escape hell, right? We are born again to do good, right? Wrong! You are born again to change! Do you know that scripture, I believe, it's there in Timothy, 2 Timothy, I believe. Hallelujah. Do you know that word that they use the word denying the power, which is, by the way, dunamis, an explosive power, and a power that has the ability to change an environment. If I came in here and put a stick of dynamite in the floor and lit it off, it would change everything. Hallelujah. And what is so beautiful would become a shambles. And what the power that God gives us is dunamis, dynamite. It has the power to take that which is shamble and make it beautiful.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that word, that there is a word there that comes from the word metamorpho. Hello? Metamorphosis. Hallelujah. It is a word that means you deny and resist the power to change. That doesn't mean you go out and sit in a bar. That doesn't mean you go down here and lust after things and people. It means that you do not submit to the power of God that wants to change you from what you are to what He is. Hello? Hallelujah. Years ago we were in a church in Owerri. That was the first time I went to Owerri. Hallelujah. It was Grace Tabernacle and Brother Uchi. Huh? Hallelujah. And we were in this meeting and the Spirit of God fell. You weren't there, were you? Were you there? Oh boy, maybe I need to talk to you later. I want to find out something. We were singing How Great Thou Art. That was the first time I ever heard How Great Thou Art sung that way, and it was the last time. 3 hours. Can you imagine? 3 hours, one song. And every time they sang it, it would get greater, and the crescendo of God would begin to move. And people were coming up for prayer, and God was moving and opening their hearts up. Hallelujah. They brought one man up to me. Hallelujah. And as I laid hands on him, I saw this big black cord plugged right into his chest. You remember that? You remember it? You remember who he was?
Yes.
Huh?
Well, I
want to find out what happened. Big black cord came down and it was plugged into the earth. You guys love Nigeria. Isn't that right? you love the land. You like the dirt even. And I saw as we were praying for him, and it was a struggle. We had to pray for him and pray for him and pray. Finally, there was a hand that came down out of heaven. And it reached down and it grabbed a hold of that plug. And it began to pull, 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 pull. And then there was such resistance. It's hard, isn't it? You know, sometimes you can't agree with each other at all. Huh? But let somebody on the outside pick on you, you all of a sudden in unity and together. Pull, pull, pull. Now this was God pulling on that plug. And as it came out of the earth, it made this sucking sound like a cork coming out of a bottle. Hallelujah. And he turned around and he plunged into heaven.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And all of a sudden, something started coming into that cord. Running into that cord, running down that cord. And as it was running down the cord began to become a different color than black. It kind of went into a yellow, then it kind of went into a gold, and then it kind of came like an effervescent, transparent gold. And you could see it like the energy going down, going down, going down, going down, going down, going down. And when it hit the man's body, he just shook like this. Like a dog shaking the water off of him. Like a horse that gets up and shakes the dirt off of him after he rolls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word of God said to him that God was going to change his nature so much. And there was going to be such a radical difference between him and the people that he was among, that they would begin to persecute him. And you know what they were going to tell him? You don't think like Nigeria. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, there are no Americans in heaven. There's no Europeans in heaven. There are no Sierra Leoneans in heaven. Hallelujah. There's no Ugandans in heaven. And there's, by the way, no Nigerians. So if you want to hang on to your Nigerian identity, you go ahead and hang on to it. But at the end of the day, and the doors close, you're going to be on the outside, not on the inside. Hallelujah. There is a scripture I want to read to you. John chapter 17. And it says in the 12th verse, 12 is the number of government. It says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Did you hear it? It was his nature that was exerting a position of covering for them while he was present. And it says that, and those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Do you know that the son of perdition is not a man? It's a nature. Jesus said in Thessalonians that the spirit of perdition has worked, is working, and shall continue to work. What's it working doing? It's maturing a son of perdition. The son of perdition is not just one man. that stands up at the end of the day and declares himself as God, the son of perdition, is a body that is a man. That has Satan as his head. And I'm not saying that perdition son will not have Satan in him, because he will. Because you see, Satan wants inside of that body. Why do you think demons, people are possessed by demons? Satan wants to be inside that body. Why? Because Satan does not have the potential, the ability to manufacture as God creates. Oh, sorry. Thank you. It turned it up for me. Come on, brethren. Come on. I'm going to, brother Jokes, I'm going to instruct them in anatomy. You see, there are two forces in the world that you and I have to be concerned about. One of those forces is the force of darkness. The other force is the source of light. So you have this strategy of war, light against darkness, darkness against light. And both of those entities are not just descriptive of elements of something that is not inanimated. It's something that is very animated and has an essence of our power within its own realm that can be exercised to do a certain thing. Light to bring life, death to bring darkness. I mean, darkness to bring death. Are you there? Are you following me? Huh? Hallelujah. But the devil has a problem. The devil was not created to have the God potential that is needed to harness light or darkness. It takes a God quality. Did you hear me? We were created a little lower than the angels, but we were made that we might be over and exalted above all the works of his hand. So it takes a God-like quality or composition, or let me put it this way, it takes a DNA of God. And when you are born, what? Again? Are you still born as a Nigerian? Are you still born as an Englishman or a German or an Irishman or an American? Huh? Am I still an Asbill? That's my last name, by the way. Huh? Am I still an Asbill? No. But I think I am. Because all of this is still inside of Asbill. Hallelujah. So the devil knew he needed man in order to accomplish what it was that he wanted to do. And what was it that he wanted to do? Exalt himself above where? The throne and the stars of God. So he wanted to be over not only God, but over the creation of God and over the creation of the angelic realm of God. But he could not do that because he was not created with that capacity. Hello? You are the only thing that is created in the manner in which you are created. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You were created, because the Bible says everything must bring forth after his kind. Which kind are you? Huh? Are you Nigerian? Are you of whatever tribe you may be of? Huh? Come on. Hello? I've been here, coming here a long time. I know the mechanics. Hello? What tribe are you? He says his lineage is going to where? Come out of the tribe of Judah. And the scepter will never leave that position. I'm not talking about Judah over there. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Judah right here. He says, I will restore again. The tabernacle of David. What tribe was he? What tribe was he? He was Judah! So the devil needs you. But you were not designed to hold that type of wickedness. Did you hear me? Now the devil has tried many times. There's been many experiments. There was a man named Hitler. Well, even before that, there was a man called Alexander the Great and all of the things that go on there. And there was a man called Genghis Khan and all the things that go on there. Then there was a man called Hitler. Hallelujah. And why did he hate the Jews so much? Come on. They're now even trying to deny the existence of it. Hello? Hallelujah. And there was a man called Stalin. You see, humanity had to progressively get worse, get darker, get more compatible. And now when Satan came into Judas, he thought that he had it made. Hallelujah. He made his time, but he was preemptive. He was premature. What did Judas do? He went out and hung himself. What did Hitler do? He shot himself in the head. Hallelujah. What did Stalin? He was eaten up with cancer. Hello? And many of some of these atrocities that have been committed in this continent of Africa by individuals. Hallelujah. Where are they now? You were not, but you know, the devil's been getting closer and closer and closer to the end of time and to the fulfillment of what it is that he thinks that he will accomplish at that time when he enters that one particular person. But that one particular person is going to have a body of persons who have the same pernicious spirit. Same pernicious spirit. Hallelujah. So the devil needs you. Isaiah says, and darkness was on the earth. Gross darkness. What was making the earth dark? Would it not be the greater darkness? So the darkness in me gathers strength by eating darkness from outside. And as it eats more darkness, it generates more darkness. And the darkness goes out and the darkness builds and it produces food for me to eat as a dark person. So I become darker and darker and darker and darker. And so I'm so dark that the Spirit of God has left.
Amen.
You know the man in Hebrews? We call it the unpardonable sin. That's the perditiousness of man. It's man who has been in the holy place church. Did you hear me? Read the attributes. Read the description of it. It's the man in the holy place church who has gone about God's business without letting God get involved with his business. Back to those university students. I said to them, I stood up and I said to them, I said, you know, you have a choice to make. You can take God into your profession, whatever it is that you wanted to do, or you can allow God to lead you into it and out of it if He so desires. Huh? How's that for a commencement speech? How's that for telling you, go out in the world, children, and get it? Huh? Hallelujah. John chapter 17. He says, I have given them thy word. God has given you a word. God has given you a word. And that word is the same word that God gave to His disciples. And He says, I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world. You see, now He was going away. Up to that point, His presence had shielded them. His presence had kept them. But now He was going away. But He did not leave them without the accoutrements to be able to stand and overcome their darkness. Hallelujah. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray that thou shouldest not take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. My God, we need to repent as a people. We need to repent for how we have mishandled the Word of God. What we have presumed to be our position, our right of inheritance. What, is the world hating you? Is it hating you? Are they after you? Are they spitting on you? Are they yelling, crucify you? Crucify you? Hallelujah. He set the example. He set the path. And we are supposed to walk it. God bless you. Before we begin, I want to introduce the people that are traveling with me. They're not just people, they are family. And I don't mean necessarily natural blood family. Praise the Lord. And I want to introduce my brother, praise the Lord, Brother Wade Lux. Wade, why don't you come up and let people get a view of your face? Hallelujah. I believe this is Wade's second time to Nigeria. And I'm sure that afterwards you'll all want to come around and shake his hand, give him a hug, and tell him how glad you are you see him. Because I'm sure that you will want to encourage him to come back again. Amen. And I firmly believe that Brother Wade will be back again. Amen. So, here, say hello and maybe some things that you want to share.
Well, sir, I'm excited for the last time I'm here. You know, there's a little fire going on in Nigeria. And we're hoping that we can catch some of that.
Amen.
Take it back to the States and impart the life and energy of God that's there. So I'm just tickled to be here to have an opportunity to just come and be part of the fellowship.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I also have brought with me this time my son, Brother Barak. Barak, won't you come up here? Hallelujah. Praise God. He's not only my son, but he is a son of God. He is not only my son, but he's my brother in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. We are very happy to be able to be here. This is my first time to Nigeria. My fifth time to Africa. I'm looking forward to continuing and being able to come. We find that our lives are being echoed below into the field of harvest.
Amen.
I can share with my brother Wade here the taste of the presence of God, the fire of God, and the energy of God.
Praise God.
That we touch something that is of the eternal substance. Amen. If I don't sit down,
he'll be preaching. Yes. You may.
I have with me my son, Christopher. So you have three generations.
Say amen. God is doing some very mighty things in our young people. And I don't mean young people, just my young people. I am talking about the young people around the world. Hallelujah. There is a hunger and a thirsting for righteousness and a reality of God that we are experiencing. Amen. And of course, I always save the best for last. Amen. And I like my lovely wife, Nancy. Praise God. She is my foxhole soldier. We have been in many battles together. We have patched each other up, encouraged each other, and sent each other back into the fray. Praise the Lord. So I am sure she has something that she wants to share with you. And being as you have no roast in the oven or potatoes on the stove, praise God, we have plenty of time. Amen? Oh, that wasn't very good. You must be more excited about the Word of God. Hallelujah. Brethren, you have come to break the Word of God. You've come to take living bread.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Nancy, praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, for me, this is I've been coming out for over 20 years. So, not every year, of course, but it's been a little 20 years ago that I first came. Many of you were just very little. And now we are grown. We are excited to be here. I am blessed. You know, there's something that is so encouraging. So, you know, when we gather together, one has a song, you know, we have an ability to work together and to encourage one another and to see the love of God. You know, there's something that God has been speaking to me, the importance of what's inside. You see, you know, Now, for the young ladies, the Lord speaks to me. The king's daughter is all glorious within. There's something in them that has to be working out to show that glory. And, you know, it's marvelous because you have a sense of the importance of that. And I just would encourage you to keep on looking on the inside. You know, it's not what my brother or my sister does. I have to work on me.
Amen.
And I think sometimes there is a little bit too much looking at the others and saying, okay, now I think that needs to be fixed and this needs to be fixed. Instead of looking inside and saying, okay, I need this fixed in me. So, you know, can I read a scripture just real quick and then I will. Can I just have you hold that for a second? You know, when you look in Hebrews 11, and you, of course, know the chapter very well, but you know, when you think about what some of these people have done, I mean, they were in a very tough situation. Some of them were stoned. Some of them were sawn asunder. I mean, they were tempted and wandered about, but yet they didn't lose the hope because they were looking for, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, in mountains, in dens, caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith. Received up the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, think about this. You know, the world for us, they're not made perfect. I have to remind myself that if I am allowing things in me to make me not want to be in that perfect place God is calling us to. It's not only me that I'm letting myself down. There are those that are healthy, all of us overcome.
Amen.
And we need to start thinking about that. I often tell myself I'm very selfish because I'm thinking about me. But how about my brothers and my sisters? How about those that are saying, come on, you can do it. Overcome. Don't allow the anger. Don't allow the frustration. Don't allow the fear. You know what I'm saying? Allow the love of God to work in your life. Allow the faith. Allow the sense that they have to seek the kingdom of God for us. We need to fight for righteousness. And I'm so thankful to be here, and I just ask God to bless you all, and we
need to hear
from
you. Amen. Praise God. Before I start, there's one song I'd like to sing, so I'll need you. I don't need the music. You can do it without the music. Oh, brethren, don't you hear a trumpet sound? Bringing liberty to every man that has been bound. Huh? Can't you hear? Can't you see? Hallelujah. It's the year of Jesus, year of Jubilee. Hallelujah. You, Brother Isaac, I'm not a singer, so you will have to do the honors. Don't you hear, can't you see, it's the year of Jubilee.
It's your God, 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 God.
feet in a position. Ever lend to every man that hath his vow. Don't you hear, can't you say, it's the year of Jubilee. Hallelujah! Don't you hear the trumpet sound? It's liberty to every man that I've been bound. Don't you hear, can't you say, it's the year of Jubilee. Oh yes. Don't you hear the trumpet sound? It's liberty of every man that has been bound. Don't you hear, can't you say, in the year of Jubilee, raise your branches high and pray the tapestry. Don't you hear the trumpet sound? Liberty to every man that has been bound. Don't you hear, can't you say, it's the year of Jubilee. Your branch is high and set the tapestry. Father, we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for the power of resurrection that works within our being. Whether we are aware of it or realize it, it is working. As a seed that is buried into the ground, that gives no evidence of the activity until that leaf breaks through that hard shell, that stem, my God, that comes up to give evidence of the life beneath it. Oh, Jesus, we thank you today. We thank you this evening. Father, I commit this time into your hands. I commit my mind. I commit my emotions. I commit my desires. Father, that they might be that which is acceptable and that they flow with you. I come against the spirit of hindrance and the spirit of distraction and the things that want to divert and to bring us into subversion. Father, I pray for the ears of the hearer. I know, God, that it is not the words that I speak or the language that I have, but it is by the power of the living God. It is by the spirit of your heart, your mind, your emotions, Father, that bring that word, that message to every individual on the level and the age that they are, both in the natural as well as the spirit. So, Father, we commit this time into your hands. We are asking you, Lord God, to bring that living bread, to break it and to feed us, that we might be strengthened and that we might come to the position, the place of our appointed, Lord, the destiny that you have made for us. We put it into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I have a word for you, brother. Praise the Lord. I see you standing at a door. It's a door of opportunity, and it's been a long time coming. It's not necessarily a door that is a natural door, but it is a natural door. But that door has spiritual significance. It not only has spiritual significance, but it has natural significance. Not to yourself, not to the things that pertain to this world, but for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You've been knocking a long time on different doors, and you have tried to go through different doors, but always it seems as in the trying of it and going to trying to go through it, the door never produced or did what it was that you desired to do. But there was something that God was doing in your life, in the aspects of your character, your being, the personality that you were, that was bringing you through many different trials, many different tribulations, some things very painful, some things very excruciating, and sometimes very fearful. And in those times of desperation, and in those times of tribulation, God miraculously moved every time. At the end of the time frame, God moved to bring you to a position of place and a development of growth. All of those things were things that God was doing to bring you to a position or to a place of maturity. So that in the aspect of what it is that God is going to present to you and the opportunity that He's going to give to you, that you would not squander it, that you would not spend it frivolously, but that you would apply it for the purpose for which it is that God has given it to you. And the reason He has given it to you is not for your own personal edification, not for your own personal advancement or position of attaining, but He's going to give it to you for the purpose of the expansion of the kingdom of God. Not only in the aspect of your locality or the geographical location, but there are many places that God is going to utilize you by which you might facilitate and to bring forth the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It's not going to be a smooth sailing, brother. It's not going to be without tribulation and trouble, because it is that tribulation and trouble that keeps you on the path, that keeps you focused, that keeps you moving in the right direction and doing the right thing. So God bless you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I see trouble. Oh yes, I see trouble. Hallelujah. But it's not trouble as trouble to bring you into frustration or to bring you into desperation or to bring you into a place of futility. It is trouble that is designed to bring you into God. Hallelujah. And as the trouble comes, there are two reactions that you can do. You can say, praise God, let me realize the fullness of the administration of your spirit in the midst of this trouble, or you can begin to lament your situation, thereby canceling out the power of deliverance, because it is going to be your praise, it is going to be your position of thankfulness unto God and the reality of His presence that's going to bring to you the reality of His presence. Hallelujah. You know, we are a people that don't like trouble. We are a people that do not like tribulation. But the Bible tells us that we, through much tribulation, do we enter into the kingdom of God. So it is not tribulation to bring it to a position or a place of frustration. You know, there was an example in the Bible, and it was the example of Lazarus. Jesus tarried for 4 days. Hallelujah. Jesus tarried for 4 days. And He tarried for 4 days because He wanted the circumstance to seem like it was totally impossible that He could demonstrate the reality of the possibleness of God in the impossible thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as the words, hallelujah, that Jesus spoke to Martha are words that are apropos to you. I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I encourage you, my dear sister, whatever the circumstance is or may be, that you turn your heart and your eyes and your soul totally upon Jesus Christ. You will see the power of resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.